So not long ago, I'm talking to a client of mine. His name is Mike. We'll call him Mike. Mike called me because he was frustrated. He was struggling, and he was struggling because he was full of anxiety. He was stressed out, wasn't sleeping very well. And he told me it's because he had this irrational fear of not having enough money, that he was going to be in trouble at some point. Now, why is this irrational for a guy like Mike? Because Mike is a very talented business leader who has a net worth of tens of millions of dollars. He's got a lot of money. And yet, here he was worried about not having enough. And as we talked, I began to ask him, what is it that you believe about money and about your life? And he began to tell me stories. And as he told me his story, what I learned is Mike was born and raised in a middle-class American family in the Midwest. They didn't have a lot of money. They had enough to make ends meet. And Mike had a lot of ambition to do better than that. And so in his mid to late 20s, he decided he wanted to start a business. And he had this big idea, and he went out and he invested all of the money he had, and he put it into this business, took out loans, and he started a business. A few years later, the business had to shutter, had to close it down. It was not successful. That meant Mike lost all of his net worth, all of his money, and he ended up sleeping on his parents' sofa at age 30. So this was an incredibly embarrassing, humiliating experience. He was totally ashamed. And so what he did is right then and there, he said, I don't ever want to go through this again. I am going to commit to changing the situation. Eventually, he ran into an old friend who was the head of a big investment banking company. He wanted some help in some operation stuff, and Mike joined the company. And very soon, actually, Mike demonstrated in some of the meetings that he actually was kind of a knack for some investing. He had a pretty good mind for numbers. He had a lot of intuition, and actually he started getting to do some trading, and he was busy making some investment decisions. Along the way, he started making a lot of money, and actually through a series of very, very well-timed investments, he made tens of millions of dollars. And so by the time I talked to him, he had started another company. He was doing great. Had lots and lots of money, mid-40s by now. And so you can see why he thought this was a terribly irrational fear. But what I told him was actually, this is the most rational thing I've ever thought, I've ever heard. And he wondered why, and you might wonder the same. You see, every feeling we have is perfectly rational because it stems from whatever beliefs we hold. The stories we tell. Remember the whole mind weeding, the thought weeds and mind seeds? That's this, but I'm going to show you something at the next level deeper. So the belief he chose was that, and he told me this, I realized because of this bad experience, this awful thing that happened to me could happen again. And I never want it to happen again. And so it leaves me very, very afraid. And so it's leading to fights with my wife. I'm fighting with my business partners because of spending that is honestly a rounding error, but it's a waste of money. And I want to make sure we don't lose any more money. So what I asked him was, could you consider an alternative story? One that is equally true. The story you told me is true. There's nothing about it that you lied about. It's that you chose to suppress certain aspects of the story and highlighting others. This was his rendering of reality, the story. So I said, what if you want to take seriously this process, what if this notion that it could happen again is true? That everything you just said could happen again, that is true. But if that's the case, then you've got to take the whole story and mean it could all happen again. Which means that if you ended up destitute on your parents' sofa, isn't it also true that you figured out a way to go from being destitute on a sofa to making tens of millions of dollars? That means that if it ever happens again, you can make more money again. Now, this is kind of a simple example, and I realize it may or may not be that profound for you, but the reality was, for Mike, that made a huge difference. Just beginning to see and expand the story and beginning to tell that other story that I am capable, I trust myself, my abilities to make it work and make it happen no matter what, gave him much less anxiety. He was more relaxed, fighting stopped happening with his partners and his wife, and he was doing a lot better. So this is the power of the beliefs we have, the stories we construct, the weeds we plant, and the seeds we plant to decide whether or not we're going to feel really good, have more resourceful emotions, to have better decisions. So let me tell you one other story. It's a story of a therapist who had a patient. That patient had a very rare condition. And the condition was that he thought he was dead. He was pretty convinced he wasn't alive. And the therapist, working with himself for several weeks, said, you know, realized this wasn't getting anywhere, tried different techniques, and finally this big idea occurred to her. So she met with this patient and she said, so you're convinced you're a walking corpse, you're dead. Yep, absolutely, I'm dead, I'm not alive. She said, is it true that corpses don't bleed? And the patient said, yeah, corpses can't bleed, they're dead, of course. And she said, so if I took this pin, she held a pin and said, and I had you prick your own finger with it, and if it didn't bleed, you're a corpse. But if you saw blood, would you then be able to admit that you're actually alive? And the patient said, look, I'm glad to try it. Let's give it a try. It's a waste of time. We already know what's going to happen. I'm going to prick my finger. There's going to be no blood. And the reason is because I'm a corpse. I've already told you that. So the therapist gave him the pin. He pricked his finger. And when he pulled it out, he looked at it. And there he saw blood. And the patient looked at the blood and looked at the therapist and said, oh my gosh, what do you know? Corpses do bleed after all. So there you go. It's a little story to try to illustrate just how powerful beliefs are, that we will distort reality in such a way to affirm the things that we hold most dear, that we believe to be most true. So in the next several videos, what I'm going to do is take you on a deeper level on how to do that pulling weeds, planting seeds process. But there's a four-step process. In the next video, I'm going to show you what that process is.